We'll get into the lesson. We're talking about Luke, and we're learning some things about the character of Luke. And if you look in your Bible, you'll find that in my Bible, in the Schofield Bible, it says it was written probably somewhere between 63 and 68 A.D., the book of Luke. And the book of Acts probably written somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 A.D., and I'm not going to argue with those dates. Luke had to gather the information before he could write the books. And the Lord, obviously, the Holy Ghost had to put it on his heart. And we talked last week that kind of the key to understanding both Luke and the book of Acts lies in the one sentence. It's the introductory sentence, four verses in Luke 1. And in Luke 1 through 4, Paul tells us that he wrote what was delivered unto him from the beginning of the time of Jesus, from those who were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. When he writes it to Theophilus, a man from Antioch in Syria. Antioch in Syria is where they were first called Christians. When they were first called Christians, it is thought that Luke was up there. And so who did he teach him? At that point in time, that was before the Apostle Paul ever went there, it had to be those that were scattered after the stoning of Stephen. So he was familiar with some of them people. And then when Paul finished his third missionary journey in Acts 20, he took with him from that region seven men plus Luke. Luke was with him, and Luke remained with him for the rest of Luke's life. If you read 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, only Luke is with me. Luke was a follower of the Apostle Paul. He learned Paul's gospel. Paul got arrested in Jerusalem, as we've talked about before, there in, I think it's the 21st chapter of Acts, and he ended up being held prisoner in Caesarea for 2 years. During that 2 year time, Caesarea was on the coast west of Jerusalem, was about 75 miles distance. During that time, Luke wasn't arrested, nor were the others that were traveling with him. I think some of them went back where they were, where they came from. But Luke, he remained. He remained with Paul. How do we know that? Read the 27th chapter of Acts. When Paul was set free and sent to Rome, he wasn't set free, but when he was set free from the prison in Caesarea and sent to Rome as a under the custody of the Romans empire, if you will, they sent him by ship, and Luke was with him. He writes in the we and us again in the 27th chapter of Acts. So Luke had hung around. Those 2 years, while Paul was in prison in Caesarea, Luke spent some time in Jerusalem. He got to meet Mary, the mother of Jesus, who told him all the things that we read in the first two chapters of Luke. But another one that he got to meet that was a minister of the word, which we read about in Luke 1:2, was the apostles, Peter being one of them. And last week, we were talking about the fact, and we were in Luke 5, so go back there. And we were talking there, we introduced the thought that Jesus, as we all should know, he was called master, meaning master teacher in some instances, and a master of authority in other instances, two different Greek words. And we were pointing out the difference between a master teacher and a master of authority. And we find both examples in Luke 5, 1 through 11. And I think that's where we were when we left off. So let's read this again, because some of you weren't here, and now I've got you kind of caught back up. And this account that Luke wrote here in Luke 5 starts out, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, the him being Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. That's another name for Peter. Simon Peter and Cephas are three different names we know Peter by. Simon was used here. And Jesus prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he, Jesus, sat down and taught the people out of the ship, because he was the master teacher. He was instructing things of the word of God to the people here. Verse 4, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He said, let down your nets, plural, for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, and this is the Greek word that means a master of authority. It's epistates. It's number 1988 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And he says, Master, I don't want to argue with you here, but we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Well, you know, kind of halfway followed Jesus' instructions. He said, let down the nets, and he said, we'll let down a net. Yeah. And verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. An example here of how Jesus does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. You know, they should have got more nets, but they didn't. Verse 8, when Simon Peter, there he called Simon Peter, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And the Greek word for sinful here is harmatolos. It's number 268 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. It's a word found 47 times in New Testament scripture, and it's most commonly translated as sinners. Peter says, I am a sinful man, O Lord. And this is the same word, sinners, that Paul wrote about in 1 Timothy 1:15, where he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that same word, of whom I am chief. And so Luke, who wrote about this story, was guided of the Holy Ghost to use this word, harmatolos, 18 times in the Gospel of Luke. And of course, that means sinners, or in this case, sinful. And 18 is the number of bondage. So when Peter confessed, I am a sinful man, O Lord, he was saying that he was under the bondage of sin. I think we might have went over this, but maybe not. Romans 6:23, which I think you're familiar with, it tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we note that Luke uses the word harmatolos more than any other writer of Scripture. Verse 9, Luke 5, 9. Luke said, Peter had said for that he was a sinful man. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. You can write down Mark 3:17 for a reference here. There they are called, this pair, James and John, sons of thunder. They would have been a hoot to be around, huh? Like a thunderstorm, you know, like a bull in a china shop, maybe, I don't know. Which were partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Note that, highlight that in your thinking, because we'll talk about this some more. Jesus said to Simon Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Pew, right over his head, that statement probably went. You know, what are you talking about? You know. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed Jesus. Now, who do you suppose told Luke this story that we just read in these first 11 verses of Luke 5? It had to be an eyewitness. It could have been one of the ministers of the word. It had to be Peter. He was a minister of the word. And he was the one who told Luke what he said to Jesus. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And this was when Peter confessed his sins to the Lord. And we all remember the day we got saved, right? When we were born again. We don't forget that, you know. And so here's where Peter gave his testimony to Luke of the day he got saved. And Luke wrote this down. And that's what we have in those first 11 verses. And concerning Jesus being the master teacher, notice here that we find that Peter had listened to the master teacher's lesson taught from Peter's own ship by the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter confessed, I am a sinful man, O Lord, in Luke 5:10, he acknowledged that Jesus was the Lord, the supreme in authority. Now go to Luke 9 for a minute, and we'll read the following. Luke 9, starting in verse 18. And it came to pass, as he, this is Jesus, when he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Now, as a side note here, I was reading and studying a little bit of what Brother Hawkins had to say in his study book, and he notes that more than all of the other gospel writers, Luke records Jesus' times of prayer most because the gospel of Luke pictures Christ as a man. How do we accomplish anything in this life spiritually? By prayer. And Jesus was no different as a man. We need to be praying more, you think? Praying always. Okay. And so this kind of gives us, why I mentioned this, it kind of gives us a little bit of a insight into the character of Luke. For example, we've already looked at some of these prayers, and Luke wrote them down because this was kind of something that he highlighted, prayers. And then not only the prayers of Jesus, but the prayers of other people. In Luke 1:8-11, it was at the time of incense when all the people were praying that the angel of Gabriel appeared unto Zacharias, the father of yet to be conceived John the Baptist. Later in Luke 1:46-56, we read of the prayer of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who magnified the Lord with rejoicing. In Luke 2, we read about that just and devout man named Simeon, who was revealed by the Holy Ghost that Jesus was the Messiah, and he lifted up his voice in praise and thanks for God being for him being able to see Jesus in Luke 2:28-32. And when we get to it, we will notice Luke making mentions of many times of a particular prayer. These things were important to Luke. He highlighted these times. So Brother Hawkins found Luke mentioning the prayers of Jesus more than any other gospel writer. But as we mentioned, Luke also noted the times of prayer and certain other prayers of those he wrote about both in the book of Luke and in Acts. So we'll just make mention quickly that Luke, as he followed Paul, he also very closely followed Christ. And you have to know that Luke himself became a prayer warrior as he was taught by our beloved Apostle Paul. And that's part, James, of what it means to be a fellow laborer. Got it? Okay, and that term is used of Luke in Philemon 1:24. And stated another way, perhaps, we could say it like this. There is no way that Luke could have wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts without much prayer and the leading of the Holy Ghost. And so we note that Luke himself was a prayer warrior. Now back to Luke 9:18. And it came to pass, as he, Jesus, was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" And they answering said, then that was the they answering was Jesus' disciples, and they came up with the following answers. One of them said, "John the Baptist," and some say Elias, and others say that one of the prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, "But whom say ye?" You. Let's get it down personal. "But whom say you that I am?" Notice who answered. Peter, answering, said, "The Christ of God." Now note here that it was Peter alone who answered this question of Jesus. Now go to John 6 for a moment, and we'll go to John 6:67. I'll give Lori a chance to catch up. Sometimes go look at her notes. They're beautiful. I mean, it's perfect penmanship. John 6:67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. The 12 what? Apostles. Peter was one of them. "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter, answering him, again, Jesus had asked all of them that question, but it was Simon Peter who gave the answer, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." So we see that Peter became the spokesman for the 12. And here again, he He confessed he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. So the point of reading these verses is to show that Peter acknowledged Jesus to be not only a master of authority, but a master teacher and Christ, the Son of the living God. In return, the master Jesus made Peter a fisher of men. But it took the power of the Holy Ghost to bring Peter to this place. And it was Luke who documented how and when this happened in the book of Acts. So go to Acts, we're going to go to Acts 2 here in a moment. Now, recall what we studied about, and I told you to highlight there in Luke 5:10, where Jesus said unto Simon Peter, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Okay, and so we go to the book of Acts, and we'll look at some specific verses in Acts to see how Peter actually became a fisher of men. And as we look at this, we'll also see how Luke documented several sermons by Luke. I'm still kind of in the process of doing the research on this, but a very large portion of what Luke wrote, both in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts, were sermons or parts of sermons. And so we must note that Luke took good notes on the Holy Ghost sermons he heard or was told about, the ones he didn't hear but was told about. And it was from these notes that Luke took from eyewitness accounts and from those who were ministers of the Lord that he wrote about in Luke 1:2, that Luke could later write in order, which he did, as stated in Luke 1:3, the events recorded both in Luke and in Acts. So now you've had time to turn to Acts 2. With these thoughts in mind, it must have been a minister of the word named Peter who told Luke about the sermon the Holy Ghost inspired him to preach on the day of Pentecost, which is recorded in Acts 2, 14 through 36. And you can read that sermon and study it. The end result of this sermon is recorded in in Acts 2:41, I believe. Let me just make sure I got that correct. Yes. Then they that gladly received his word, the word that Peter preached, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, marveling at these results. The word of Jesus that we read about there back in Luke 5:10 must have echoed in Peter's ears. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Did the net break? It was a full net, wasn't it? In Acts 3, 1 through 11, we are told the story of a certain lame man who was healed at the temple in Jerusalem. Acts 3, 6 through 8 summarizes it this way. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This guy wasn't going to let go of Peter and John. He's going to hang on to these guys. And this miracle of healing attracted a large crowd. And Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, preached unto them another impromptu Holy Ghost-inspired sermon that's recorded in Acts 3, 12 through 26. Now, we know that Luke wasn't there to hear this sermon. So Peter, or some eyewitnesses who were there, later told what Peter had preached. And Luke wrote it down. And so the end result is the sermon that's recorded in Acts 4:4, starting there. And it says, "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It was 3,000 earlier, this time it's 5,000. And so here again we see Peter highlighted as a fisher of men, just like Jesus had told him back there in Acts 5:10. In the meantime, the members of the Sanhedrin arrested Peter and John. And the next day, Peter and John were given a chance to defend themselves. And so let's read what happened next, starting in Acts 4:7, and we'll read a few verses. And Luke wasn't there, but, you know, he wrote this down. Acts 4:7. "And when they, the Sanhedrin, had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they asked them, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of ye builders, which has become the head of the corner,'" speaking of Jesus. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," how would you like to go around wearing that title? Well, maybe we should. "They marveled, and they took knowledge of them, specifically that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And we can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, here's what we'll do. Let us straightway threaten them, that they speak henceforth no man in this name.' And they called them," Peter and John, "and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Who told Luke this story that he wrote down? Well, when Luke was in Jerusalem during the time frame when Paul was a prisoner there in Caesarea, it had to be Luke who told him of this account. Who else was there before the Sanhedrin besides John? Had to be Peter that told him. Luke, a Gentile, he didn't interview members of the non-believing Jewish Sanhedrin and say, what did Peter tell you that one time? They wouldn't even give him the time of day. So let's finish some of what Luke also recorded in Acts 4, starting in verse 21. So when they, the Jewish Sanhedrin, had further threatened them, Peter and John, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went, Peter and John, to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Can you imagine the amount of people with one accord lifting up their voice to the Lord? And said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, this is one of the many prayers that Luke recorded in Scripture. And the results here, because Luke wasn't there, but here's the results. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. This was a spiritual equivalent to what we read back there in Luke 5, 6 this morning, about when they were told to cast the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. That was a great multitude of people here praising the Lord to where the place shook. You ever been in such an assembly? Anybody here? Okay. I mean, you know, they were praising the Lord. You've heard the place shake at Mile High Stadium, right? But they weren't praising the Lord. Okay. So when Jesus said to Peter in Luke 5:10, Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And then when Jesus also told him and the disciples, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you in Acts 1:8, there is no way that Peter could have even imagined what we were told of next happening in Acts 5, starting in verse 12, which was an answer to that prayer that we just read in Acts 4:30. In Acts 5:12, we read this, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Now, we know that certainly Peter was one of the eyewitnesses to these events, and this is no doubt one of the eyewitnesses that Luke interviewed to be able to write this record. And then another important point that tells us a little bit about the character of Luke that we find here is that Luke makes mention more than all of the other writers of Scripture about healing. Those are the kind of things that he wrote down, he was impressed with. And we'll probably look into that a little later in this study. We're about finished with time here today, but I can probably pick up from here next week, starting in what we read next in Acts 5:17-28, where Peter and the other apostles were arrested by the Sanhedrin. And by night, the angel of the Lord set them free, and he gave them these instructions found in Acts 5:20. You know, they'd just been arrested, and the angel of the Lord set him free. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life, which they did. So there's a lot of things to think about here this morning. Hope you got something out of it.